The theme of this service comes from this passage of scripture, and it's about redemption. One of my favorite TV shows about 15 years ago was called Extreme Makeover Home Edition. The reason I loved it was because they would take a family that couldn't help themselves. They were in terrible straits and something was wrong. Somehow they had got into trouble financially, or they had a medical problem, or something was off. And so the family would end up in a terrible situation with a house that was just wrecked and in shambles. And so what they would do is they would take the family, pull them away in a limo, and send them away for a week. And during that week, they would bring in an army of volunteers and a construction crew, and they would demolish the house and then rebuild it. And it would be the most immaculate, beautiful thing, and it would be suited exactly to their needs. I love that because at the end, Ty Pennington would always say, "Bus driver, move that bus." And then the bus would move away. All the volunteers that were working there were watching, looking on. And the family would look where their old house that was dilapidated and run down and dangerous for them usually was gone. And in place of it was beautiful landscape and a beautiful house that was now theirs, their home. And it would always get me. It would always pull at my heartstrings. Because there are times in life when you cannot help yourself. And people will end up in these situations. It happens all over the place. It happens all around us and in different ways. Those were situations which were just so clear that the family couldn't help themselves. They were in so much medical debt. They were in so much trouble. And then this group of people came together to do something so kind for them. And it rescued them. It rescued their whole life. It rescued the way that they could live and their very situation in this world. Well, our passage this morning in Ruth 3, it gets back to these two women, Naomi and Ruth. And they are in a situation that is desperate. The three men in the household had died. One of the daughters-in-law had turned back to Moab. And so Ruth is with her mother-in-law, Naomi, and they're back in Bethlehem, but they're poor. They're poor widows, and they don't have a husband. They don't have hope of getting out of their poverty. And there's really not a way for them to do it themselves. And so we look at them, and in this passage, we had learned in the previous week, in the chapter just before this, that there was a man that was very kind to Ruth. His name was Boaz. And so Naomi says, "Oh, he's a relative of ours." And they find out he is actually a redeemer. And so in this passage, we're going to learn more about that. The women that are in weakness had been living in Bethlehem. And this was through the time of harvest for barley and for wheat. And in Bethlehem, that happens about this time of year, towards the end of April and the beginning of May. So it's happening over there now. And they have newer equipment to do it with now. But Naomi comes up with a plan. She has a strategy. There's a man that's a redeemer, and these women are in great need. He could help them, but the question is, will he help them? So Naomi comes to Ruth, and she presents her plan, and she gives her reason. She says, "Listen, shouldn't I seek rest for you, Ruth? And isn't Boaz, this guy that's been so kind to us, isn't he our relative?" And so she gives her reasons, and then she says this, "Listen." She says, "I know this guy's schedule." So now we see that Naomi has been observing Boaz. She knows what he's doing, what he'll be doing for this next few days. And so she says, "I have a plan, Ruth. I want you to go get yourself cleaned up. Make yourself look as pretty as you can." That's my summary. She says, "Wash and put on oil and so you smell good and put on your best outfit. And then I want you to go down. I want you to go because they're going to have a party. And when they're having this party, all the grain is gathered in and they're going to have wine and they're going to have a big meal and it'll be a big celebration. When it's done, Ruth, the plan is you're going to watch what Boaz does. He'll go somewhere in the threshing house and buy the grain somewhere. He's going to lay down and he's going to go to sleep." And so Naomi knows all of this. And she says, "Ruth, I want you to go and lay down near him and uncover his feet." And you can almost imagine Ruth saying, "Okay, I hear the plan so far. And then what?" And then Naomi says, and do whatever he tells you to do. Now, Ruth responds and she says, I will do all that you say, Naomi. Now, this time was a big celebration. This was a highlight of the year if you had farms and you had land. In Psalm chapter 4, verse 7, you see a picture of this where when grain and wine abound, it's a big party and it puts joy in your hearts. And this was the picture of what was happening. Ruth and Naomi were all set. Boaz now was a man who had been generous towards them. He had been giving them more than they expected. He was generous with her. He was protecting her. He was looking out for both of them. And he had heard about their situation. And he said, this is a young woman and her mother-in-law that they trust God. They truly trust Yahweh. Well, Ruth puts the plan into action. And if we look at verses 6-8, we see what happens, that Ruth starts executing the plan. So she goes to this place and she did, verse 6, just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. Boaz had his food and wine, and he went down and he laid down. Now, everything is happening just according to plan. So Ruth, watching on, the big party is happening. She sees it all happens according to plan. So she goes, she uncovers his feet. By the way, I was thinking about this morning. My feet get cold because I'm a tall person. And if my feet are uncovered and it's cool in the house, that will wake me up. And I don't think Boaz had any socks on or probably didn't own any socks. But when your feet get cold, you wake up. So that's the picture of what's happening here. Ruth goes, she uncovers his feet, and she lays down near his feet. Boaz is startled, and he wakes up. His feet are cold, but the thing he notices is, there's a woman down there by my feet. And so he says, who are you? Verse 9. And she answers, I'm Ruth. I'm Ruth, your servant. Now, the plan looked good on paper when Naomi was laying it out. This is what we're going to do. But sometimes when you're actually in the process of executing the plan, sometimes you realize maybe the plan wasn't as perfect as it looked beforehand. Ruth now is in a very vulnerable situation. Ruth is in this place where it's night, it's the middle of the night, and this man Boaz, who had been so kind, he's so upright, he fears God. Now there's a woman at his feet, and she's the woman. Verse 9, we see that she asks Boaz something. Ruth, she says this, spread your wings over your servant because you're a redeemer. Now the question is, how will Boaz answer? When she asked this, she says two things. Now, Naomi didn't instruct Ruth to say these specific words, but Ruth is taking the words that she had heard in the previous chapters about her situation and about this man Boaz. Naomi had told her that there's a redeemer. This gets us back to chapter 2, verse 20. She calls him one of our relatives. Now, that's very significant. Boaz said to Ruth in the previous chapter, probably just a few days ago, that I want the Lord to repay you, Ruth, for what you have done, and a good reward, a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Under God's wings you have come to take refuge. This was Boaz's words to Ruth to bless her. And now Ruth is saying to him, Boaz, I want you to be the one to spread your wings over me. And what she's saying is, I'm willing to be your wife. I'm willing. It's sort of a presentation saying, there's sort of a knowledge that he likes her, but he's been acting very pure towards her. But now we see that this kindness towards her, she says, I would be happy and available to be your wife. Now, this is something that we can take, this dynamic between Boaz and Ruth. You see, Boaz was kind to her, and it was a pure kind of kindness. You see, he was he was kind to her because he said, I've heard about you, Ruth, and I've seen that you're a hard worker. And I know that you've given yourself to be under God's protection, to be taking refuge in Yahweh, our God, the one true God. And I love that about you. And I'm going to treat you like a daughter, and I'm going to be kind and generous towards you. This is a picture of someone saying, you're in the family now. And because you're in the family, I'm going to help meet your needs. This is a picture of how the church should act. This is how we should say, you know what? We have a special obligation to those that trust in Christ to care for them, to look out for one another's needs in this way. So there they are in the middle of the night, and Ruth asks this question. And she says, I want you to do what you said in your blessing. I want you to be the one that brings God's blessing to me, to Naomi. And now it's out there. And it's sort of a vulnerable place to be. She has said, you know, I need help, and I want you to be the one that helps me. This is a very vulnerable situation. There's so much tension in this moment. And if you realize at this point that Naomi's plan was actually very risky. In fact, Sinclair Ferguson says that what this woman had devised was reckless. It was risking the reputation and testing the patience of Boaz. But as we look at it, we see that God was doing something. God was actually working through all of this. The question that we come to it now with is, how will Boaz respond? The women are there in great need. Ruth has done what her mother-in-law instructed her to do, and she asked. And now it's out there, and it's sort of hanging over us. How will he respond? Have you ever been in a place of need and not able to help yourself? It's a terrible situation. I mean, sometimes you have a medical emergency and you just have to trust those that are caring for you. You might have a financial difficulty. And what can you do if you can't help yourself? Well, the Bible says that all of us, every one of us, has a problem that puts us in such a situation. And the problem is that all of us are in sin. And because we sin, we are in slavery to sin. And what that means is Romans 3, it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because of that sin, we're in bondage to that sin. It says that if anyone sins, he is a slave to sin. That means that we are under the mastery of sin. And we can't help ourselves. We can't get ourselves out of that situation. We have a lot in common with this woman, Ruth. In this moment, in the middle of the night, she can't help herself. She needs a redeemer, and she asks. Now, the words that are used here to describe Boaz are very, very powerful words. He's called a relative, and he's called a redeemer. When they refer to him as a relative, there's this law in Israel, in the books of Moses, that says that a relative, a brother-in-law, they call it a leverite situation, meaning brother-in-law. The relative is a lever. And that just means a brother-in-law. A relative is someone that can possibly produce sons for a brother who has died, a relative who has died. And the reason is, if you can get into a marriage and then have children, then the name of the man who has died, that family line will continue. And the purpose is that the tribes in Israel, the people, And the lines of these families should not come to an end. And so everyone was sort of teaming up. And if your larger family was a part of this, then a brother-in-law or a cousin could get married to a widow and have children so that the line of the family could continue. That's what is meant by this term relative. The other term that's used is redeemer. And sometimes you'll hear it translated a kinsman redeemer. The Hebrew word is goel. And the root meaning of that word is to rescue someone, to be a protector. Now, this is a different word than the brother-in-law word. The basic meaning is to protect. And the idea is that sometimes you would get into a situation where you might have a financial difficulty or a struggle where you lose your ability to provide for yourself. And you might have to sell yourself into slavery, or you might have to sell off your land to someone else who could own it. At that point, whether it's land or it's your own self as a slave, another relative from the larger family could come in and was actually expected to come in and to use their ability to buy back that land that was sold away from the family, or to buy you back from being in slavery and to redeem you out of it, to again be free. These are very, very powerful words. And we look at Boaz and they are saying he's someone who can do this. And because he's in the larger family, we're going to ask him to do this. What you would do is you would buy a relative out of slavery. And to do this, you must have the mindset of belonging to a larger family. Boaz, we will see, had that. This word, kinsman redeemer, the root word, gael, in the Hebrew, it means to redeem. And it's used of God. God says with this same root word that he will redeem his people. And it's used a lot, actually, of what God does for his people because of his hesed love towards them. He says, I have a sense of love for you. I have a kindness, a committedness to you, and I won't turn away from it. And so whenever God says that he would rescue Israel, or that he did rescue Israel out of Egypt, it's emphasized that they were in slavery, and he's getting them out of slavery because of his love, and that he is redeeming them. He's buying them back. And it says that he does this with a strong hand. Now, that's the other aspect of a redeemer. A kinsman redeemer has to have these two qualities. One is this commitment of love to care for someone that is in a desperate situation. The other aspect that comes out is the redeemer has to be strong enough to do it. Strong enough in resources, strong enough in willingness. It's being able to say, I will fight for you. I will go to court for you. I will use my resources and my strength to get you back. I will spend on your behalf. Now, this is a beautiful picture of a redeemer. A redeemer has to be strong and willing to pay a price. The redeemer has to be able, and the redeemer has to be kind towards those that they would redeem. Now, this is a picture that we can all admire. Whenever you see someone doing something for someone else, this is something that just stands out. That's why I love that show, Home Makeover or Extreme Makeover Home Edition. Because we can be like this. Every one of us can be like this. We can see someone that needs help. We can see someone that can't help themselves in 100 different ways. And we can be this. We can rescue people. You know, sometimes it's just with your words. Sometimes it's just with kindness. You can go to someone that's near you, in your family, in your community, and you can say, you know what? You have a need. It might be for encouragement. It might be for a financial need. It might be for a million different things. And we can look for ways to do such things. We don't have to buy back a whole estate that has been taken. We don't have to. Most of us can't do that, but we can do many things. But here's the way it works. If you have love and this sense of kindness towards these others, and you are willing to take the cost upon yourself, you know, the time to write a note, the time to make a phone call, the time to listen to someone else that's in a hard situation, even to pray for someone and then to tell them, look, I know that you're having this hard situation and I can't really do much about it except this. I will pray for you. And to let them know. See, that's a type of redemption where we're showing love, and we are giving ourselves in the cost of helping someone else. So let's get back to this narrative. Ruth is at his feet. Boaz is there, and he's woken up, and he's startled. And he says, who are you? And she gives the offer, and it's out there, and it's just sort of hanging. How will Boaz respond? Will he use his strength? Will he use his wealth? Will he spend that on their behalf? Will he show kindness and love? Well, it's hanging out there. And the answer comes in this beautiful statement, verses 10 through 15. Boaz, basically, if we were to sum it up, he says to Ruth, don't fear. I will redeem you Huh. He's willing. I mean, what good news. And the first thing he said, let me just read this again. And he said, "May you, Ruth, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first." This word kindness is that word hesed again. So Boaz is saying, Ruth, you're being kind to me with this kind of faithfulness with your mother-in-law. You're being kind to her. Ruth, you're showing the kind of love that God shows, even in coming and doing this. Boaz gets it. Boaz knows what's going on. He says, this kindness has been greater than the first in that you have not gone after young men. And so we get a picture that this woman was beautiful. And she was a woman that could have gone after other men, younger men, whether poor or rich. And he says this, "And now, my daughter, don't fear." He says, "Don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask." He says a reason why. He says, "Because all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman." You know, in the Hebrew Bible, the book of Ruth comes right after the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs 31 shows at the very end what a noble woman looks like. And then in Ruth, this is a picture of that woman. And these are the words that Boaz uses to describe her. "You're a woman of worth. You have that unfading kind of beauty." And he says, "And now it is true that," he says it, "I am a redeemer. I do fit that description. And yet," he says, "there is a redeemer nearer than I." And when we read this, we say, wait, we don't want that guy. We don't want that guy in the picture. We want Boaz and Ruth. But Boaz says, listen, if we're going to obey God, let's do it God's way. There's a redeemer that's closer, a relative that's closer than me. And then he says this is what I'm going to do, Ruth. Remain tonight. Just go back to sleep. Probably neither one of them slept the rest of the night. They're probably laying there awake with big eyes and they're, you know, maybe a meter or two away from each other. All that tension. And in the morning, he says, if he will redeem you, great, good. Let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then he says it before the Lord, as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. He says, lie down until the morning. Boaz, what a guy. Boaz, he speaks peace. He says, I am willing. And he says, don't fear. He says, I will redeem you. Let's look at this man, Boaz, for just a moment. He's a good man. Anyone that reads this account, this story, this history can say it's obvious. He's a good man. We like him. He's a good guy in the story. But why? We need to ask ourselves this. Why is this book in the Bible? It's not called the book of Boaz. It's called the book of Ruth. Boaz is such a good guy. What is happening here? He's a man that's trusting in the Lord with all his heart. He's not leaning on his own understanding. When he says there's a redeemer that's closer than me, I'm second in line. And according to God's plan, I'm going to do what God says. This is a man that will not run ahead of God. He's not going to be wise in his own eyes. He's not going to cut a corner and just ignore what God's word says. He will do what God says. He's a good guy because he calls her daughter and he was always pure towards her. He protected her from anyone that might mistreat her. And he said, you stay on my land and you'll be safe because I'm going to command all of my men to protect you. We're going to provide for you. You see, in that we see that Boaz is a one woman man. What do I mean by that? Well, he treats women with purity. And that's the way a godly man should treat women. Outside of marriage, you should treat all women with purity. In the book, when Paul the Apostle writes to Timothy, a young pastor, he says, Timothy, I want you to treat older women like mothers. And I want you to treat younger women like sisters with all purity. In fact, this concept is there for anyone that would serve as an elder in a Christian church, that a man must be a husband of one wife, or literally translated, a man of one woman, that intimate kind of relationship should be reserved for one until death parts you. And then everyone else is treated with purity. And that is what Boaz is. And also we see in him that he is a willing redeemer. He's willing to use his strength, to use his resources, to give himself for her and for Naomi, and even for the name in the house of Elimelech, Mahlon, the men that have died. But again, the book isn't called the book of Boaz. And what's going on here? This book is in the Bible because it's about what God did. This book is in the Bible because it's a story that God orchestrated. It was something that happened truly, and it teaches us about the greater Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I said, God was orchestrating these things. God himself was doing this. We see that back whenever in chapter 2, when Ruth is going to go out and she just happens to end up in the field of Boaz. She just happens to, according to what human perspective is. But God knows all things, and God is able to orchestrate. He is sovereign. You see, just like when Paul prayed, we are not left by God to just let things play out in this world. God knows everything, and he is able to orchestrate everything that happens, every incident in our life, every relationship. And so he did with this couple and the mother-in-law. God was orchestrating a love story, and he did it for a reason. He did it to reveal his hesed love through the Redeemer, the Son of David that would be born, Jesus Christ, who was born in Bethlehem from this family, this very family. Boaz is a kinsman redeemer, he's called. And that is a type of Christ. You see, when God orchestrates things like this, he gave kings and he had sacrifices and he had priests. And what was he doing with all of these things? These were things that God was orchestrating along the way to teach us about Jesus Christ, the one Redeemer that brings us back, that buys us out of slavery so that we can be with God because of our problem of sin. Because of the way God made us, he made us in his image to know him and to be connected with him. Boaz, I'm telling you, was a picture of what would be in Jesus Christ. And so we need to think about this personally. In your life, friend, you need a Redeemer. We all have a problem of sin. No two lives look exactly alike, but every one of us, and I can tell this to you with complete confidence, that you personally need a Redeemer. You need someone who is strong enough and loving enough to redeem you. And it's not from the things of this world. It's from that deeper problem of sin that has us in bondage. It blinds our eyes. It stops us from being able to know God and to be rightly connected with him. And so what happened in this story of Ruth is that God orchestrated a Redeemer in Boaz. What we see with Jesus Christ is that God orchestrated a Redeemer who became our kinsman when he took on our flesh. He came from heaven and he became like us in every way except without sin. And when he did that to be a Redeemer that would be strong enough and loving enough to redeem you. And here's the question. This might be on your mind when you think about Christianity. Will he accept or will he reject you? And here's the answer. When you think about your life and you think about coming to God, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is a willing Redeemer. You might feel like Ruth saying, I need a Redeemer. Jesus, would you be my Redeemer? Well, Jesus Christ is a willing Redeemer. We see a picture of that. You know this. You know, whenever Jesus went up on a big hillside and he preached what's called the Sermon on the Mount, that's in the book of Matthew. When he came down, the first thing that you see right after this Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus is walking down from this big hillside and there's a big crowd following him. And someone walks up to him that is in desperate need. Someone that is an outcast from society, someone that can't get near other people because he's a leper. He has a skin disease that's so contagious. It would be like having COVID right now and then walking around in a grocery store knowing you have COVID. The way that people would react and move away from you is the way this man was treated. And he walks right up to Jesus and he needs a Redeemer. And he believes and he understands that Jesus is able to heal him. And then he says these words. He asks him to be his Redeemer. And he says, if you are willing, you can heal me. And Jesus says these beautiful words that just continue to echo through time. Jesus says, I am willing. And he even touches him and he says, be clean. You see, Jesus is a willing redeemer. You might think, could he possibly want me? You know, maybe God is interested in certain people. Maybe that leper wasn't so bad. But maybe if he sees and knows the sin in my life, he won't have me. No, the words of Boaz echo through with this Redeemer, who is the greater Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Boaz said this, and this is how we can come and know the answer that we'll get from Jesus. Do not fear. As the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Jesus became a kinsman redeemer by coming from heaven and becoming like us. And he paid a price. The price that he paid was with his own blood when he died on a cross. He did that to ransom you. He did that to ransom me, to buy us back from the slavery of sin. And he is able to take on your debt because he rose from the grave. The payment that he made was enough. So trusting in Christ right now in this life, it means having a relationship with him. It means coming to him, trusting for him to redeem you. And he gives you two absolutely sure things. One, a promise that I will redeem you. And two, a deposit. Now, when Jesus redeems us, he redeems us completely by faith right away. And yet we're still in this world. And so you might think, well, Christians want to be redeemed like Ruth was redeemed. But Ruth became wealthy overnight. And that situation isn't changing in my life. That's not the redemption he's offering us. That's not the thing that he gives to us. He gives us spiritual redemption now. He does give us a family in this world, which is the church. And look at how this passage ends. He gives us these two things, a promise and a deposit. You see, Jesus, after he did rise from the grave, he ascended back to his Father in heaven. And the Bible says he will come again. In verses 16 through 18, we see a new setting. And they are waiting with, from Boaz, from the Redeemer, a promise and a deposit. So he says that it says that he measured out 6 measures of barley. And from what I've read, that's somewhere between 60 and 80 pounds. And he fills it up and he puts it on Ruth. And he says, I'm not going to send you back to Naomi without something. It was a deposit. It was something that matched his words. And his words were, I will redeem you. You can don't fear. Jesus gives us a deposit. The Bible says that he gives us his Holy Spirit. You see, when we come to the Redeemer, he sends his Spirit to dwell with us so that we have a comforter. We have someone that opens our eyes. God, the Holy Spirit, he won't leave us as orphans. He won't leave us alone without his presence and his help. He's our helper. And Naomi ends this passage by saying to Ruth, wait, let's wait, my daughter. And we're going to see what this guy does. He had just given a promise, and you have to wait for a promise to be fulfilled. That's the nature of a promise. A kind gesture is something you do right away, but a promise is, I will do something in the future. Boaz made them a promise, and Jesus made us a promise to be fulfilled. Jesus says this to all who trust in him. I will not leave you as orphans. This world is tough. In this world, you will have trouble. He says, I won't leave you as orphans. I know this world is hard. But he says, I will come to you. Jesus says, I will come again. And the redemption that he has won for us, that he has worked for us, is actually already complete in the spiritual sense. But it will be complete all the way. And so the things that are difficult in this world with sickness and mourning and grief, they will be changed on a day when he comes. So Jesus says to all of his people, I need you to wait for me when I'm coming back and know that I will. I will redeem you. Your time of loneliness will not be for forever. He says, I will bring you from poverty, if that is your situation in this world. I will bring you from that. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, or blessed are the poor in Luke. That's just the way he says it. but I will bring you from that into my kingdom. You'll get to be with me in my kingdom, which is a kingdom of incredible wealth. And your hunger will be satisfied. That's what will happen when our Redeemer returns. He says, I will come back for you, and I will take you to be with me where I am. So God has provided a good, willing, strong Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Now, in this narrative of Ruth, there was another Redeemer that was closer, and that will be very telling for us. We'll get to that next week. But for now, let's end with this. He welcomes you to give your life to Him, trusting Him to redeem you. He will give you a deposit now with a promise of full redemption. He is willing and able to redeem you. And so the response is this: trust in Him. Just simply put yourself before Him and say, I need a Redeemer. You can call out to Him in your living room and you just pray to Him, and He will redeem you. For all of us that know what this means, we need to remember that He is a willing Redeemer. He has done it, and He will do it. Let's pray.